There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Good evening, everybody. Today's date is the 5th of August, 2014. And it is just about 1 minute and something after the hour of 8 o'clock Central Daylight Savings Time. The reason I say 1 minute and something is Jim is out of Oklahoma somewhere. We'll find out in a little while here. So it's Ranger and myself in the barn tonight. All new information. It's a brand new show. We just recorded it last Friday evening, the 1st. But you're hearing it tonight on the 5th. And the emails, the text messages work. So you can make comments to me and say hello to Ranger and myself. But I can respond to emails, but I can't respond to text messages. Now, the reason I started off with, you can communicate with me, you can send me texts, you can send me emails, is because there's a radio relationship here. Jim and I and my dog Ranger, we're in the barn every Tuesday night. And from 8 o'clock till, 10 o'clock or whenever, there's information that we relay. Some of you send letters. Some of you send packages with snacks and treats. Some of you just send emails and text messages. But the majority of you just listen. Listen fervently and habitually, time and time again. And by the by, thank you. So if someone said, what type of relationship do you have with that radio show? You'd say, well, I listen. I send emails. They read my emails. They read my texts. I send them a check. I send them some candy. But what if you're the majority of listeners of this show and someone says, what's your relationship with this show? And you say, I listen. I listen to it live, and then I wait for the horseman to reload it, and then I listen to it again, and I listen to it a couple times a week. Well, they might ask you, they'll say, is that really a relationship? Is there really open lines of communication back and forth? Have you really cultivated a relationship? And perhaps you might say, well, what do you mean? Well, you listen to the show, but do you participate in the show? Emails, texts, sending something to the P.O. box. No, I just listen. So then is that really a relationship? Well, I guess not. Because every relationship has a language. And language is that key that unlocks that door to a real, valid, accountable, tangible relationship. And you hear so much about a relationship with Christ, a relationship with Jesus, one with God. But yet, is it really a relationship? Does it fall under the category of a relationship? Is there a give and take of information? Is there some type of communication going on? If there is, I'm sure a lot of people would say, where is it? I don't have it. Because the language of Christ is grace, is God's love. A parent doesn't have to write you a letter. A child doesn't have to write a letter saying they love you or that they're a member of a family. They are born with that attachment. When we separate horses on the ranch, the mothers from the babies, there's separation anxiety. And no matter how much time goes by, when those two horses, even though they've been separated by years and they could live across the country from each other, if they ever come nose to nose, there is that communication of parent and child. If Christ is our Father and we are Christ's children, where's that communication? If we're born with grace, and grace is communication, then that means that we are born with the ability and the language of Christ. And Jim, there is so much that has, there's not confusion about this. This point is just never brought up.
Yeah, I am very, very interested in this subject tonight. And I think everyone will have a chance to be just as interested. No, I mean, this subject is not usually talked about like this. And so I really ask you all just to pay close attention to what we're saying tonight. Because, you know, we talk about love and we'll talk about grace. But very rarely do you begin to combine those two together as really the thread that brings communication or establishes relationship with Christ. And that really is kind of what we're talking about tonight. It's not just about saying, I love God. It's not just about saying, thank God that by His grace I've been saved. Those are just statements. And even though they have meaning, it has to go further than that into an actual experience of God Himself. It has to go further than that into the experience of love and the experience of grace. Because some of the things, and we'll get to just even simple passages like John 3:16-17 that says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but shall have everlasting life. For God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world that He might love the world. Well, that He might save the world. So, again, even look at those verses that we've used so long to help people to understand that God loves you and He sent Jesus. All right, but it's got to go further than just saying He sent Jesus, now accept Jesus, over into now what's next. Because accepting Christ and beginning a relationship, now that relationship needs to grow. In fact, I've got a question for you, BJ, because when I was at my sister's house, the little foal had just been separated, I think, 2 days before we got there from her mother.
Right.
And she was in her own little stall, you know,
right.
And the mother was actually out in the pasture.
Right.
And that little thing, I mean, she was making quite a bunch of racket, you know,
yep.
and just whinnying like crazy. And when you got around her, you could sense there was just this uneasiness because, you know, she was by herself.
Well, she lost her connection to the herd,
right.
The family.
And there were other horses in the stalls, though, you know.
Yeah, that
close
doesn't
by.
Matter.
It doesn't matter. So my question is, will she forget her mother or will
nope.
she always know her mother?
No, at first it's... When, and this applies to puppies, kittens, cattle, hogs, mm-hmm. sheep, goats, most mammals. When the weaning takes place, when you separate the baby from the mom, It's for two reasons. Number one, the babies don't require mother's milk any longer. And number two, because mom's been nursing long enough, it's hard to maintain body weight, balanced nutrition when mom is eating for two. And so part of it is habit, because you have to realize that since the minute that baby was born, it was born to nurse,
okay,
to suckle. Its whole world revolves around its mother. And all of a sudden, that is severed, not of their own doing, not of their choosing, but of man's choosing. So there's separation anxiety, loss of connection, loss of the only habits and way of living that that baby knows. Now, sometimes it's kind of funny. Every horse is different. Every puppy, every kitten, every mom and baby is different. Sometimes the parent flips out and the baby likes the freedom. Sometimes it doesn't matter. It's a literally situation by situation.
Uh-huh.
But you can almost apply this to each person's ability to acknowledge grace, to enjoy grace, to use grace, to have grace. Well, frankly, just even know there is something called grace.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest problem is that there's not very many instances in a person's life where freedom, individual choice, and personal accountability are ever learned or taught or even encouraged.
Okay.
You're going to school now. You're growing up. You're not a baby. You're going to kindergarten. There's going to be a whole room full of kids. You have to learn to get along. You have to be like all the other kids and do what everybody does. You have to get along. We're literally brainwashed into organized religion and literally brainwashed from an individual thinking process.
Hmm.
You're part of the family. You do what the family wants to do.
Right.
Well, it's not about family. It's not about the group. It's about recognizing who you are, who created you, your future in heaven or hell, and how it's on you to decide.
And so tonight, some of these thoughts then, with that in mind, it really changes, I guess, some of the perspective. The paradigm begins to shift a little, as we've been talking earlier, because our way of thinking has always been, well, let's just say it this way. Love, getting along, being around people, that's not as much what love is about as much as it is experiencing God's grace and being able to testify with one another. These are some of the things that I don't think we've really had a proper perspective on. We put more of an emphasis on just being, you know, in a group and everybody getting along instead of everybody as individuals being able to share with one another the experiences that they're having in their relationship with God.
Well, look at the military. The military loves to recruit kids fresh out of school, fresh out of high school, because they go straight from an institution where there's authority and that you're in a group and you must obey protocols and rules. Also, they're used to having someone, a parent, provide food, money, shelter, telling him what they can and cannot do. In other words, military really doesn't like free thinkers.
Mm-hmm.
Because it isn't about the individual.
Right.
It's about the group, the platoon, the patrol, the brigade,
right,
the division, the army at whole. So it's a group mentality to stay on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
Because it flows better and it's more organized. Well, I just I just mentioned every well-known major religious organization there is.
Yeah.
Stay on the same page. We do everything together. But there's nothing wrong with that as long as there's an end game. It works.
Right.
There's advancement.
Right.
The problem is, if we're born with grace and grace is the language of Christ, then anything that does not promote that, provide that, enhance that, is wrong.
Right.
On
right.
every level.
Well, you know, I'm thinking of, again, because I'm coming from a background where from the age of four, I was indoctrinated into, you know, modern religion, but at the same time, I was also saved and began a relationship with God. But let me just say this, you know, overwhelmingly, people have such a difficulty, friends and ministers, with our show, because they're always endeavoring to say that we're trying to keep people from going to church or we're not believing in the church. And that's definitely incorrect. That has nothing to do about what we're talking about. We're actually endeavoring to help people to have more of the experience of church, which is to find God. Because I'm going to just share for a second scriptures used where it says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, especially as you see the end approaching. Well, think for a moment. Why does everybody want to go to, let's just say, quote-unquote church building structure, to a religious service? Why do they want to go? And what's part of the draw there? Well, the draw is they want to be around other fellow, quote-unquote, Christians because of the fellowship that they can have. But I've just given you a couple of statements that have many wrong ideas in it. First of all, just because you're saved, do you really, in one sense, qualify as a Christian, somebody that's experiencing God? And secondly, we're there for fellowship. But what is fellowship? But interchanging experiences with God that you've had, or sharing the stories of grace that you've had. But in most occurrences, being at a building where there's other people there that quote-unquote believe what you do, notice that most of the experience is just sharing the difficulties of life that you're going through, and then agreeing on the fact, but we love the Lord and we're so glad we've got a place where we can come to. Instead of being able to share love with one another, and the love you share isn't just being nice. The love you share is the experience of your love relationship with God. I trust that this is starting to make some clarity here, because the scriptures really have a lot to say about this. And if we read them correctly, we'll see that everything that Paul spoke about, Jesus spoke about, it was moving people, progressing further and further, where God became more and more real and their lives were changed by the grace of God. This is what I'd like to see a building begin to experience, because if it did, it would very quickly be really what the Bible talks about being a church, where individuals who have a relationship with God come together to share their testimony. You know, those the library, the times that I have at the library, we hear every single week multiple testimonies of God's grace. And people are starting to get it from just seeing God in their life to slowing down enough to appreciate the things that God has made, the earth that God has made, the creatures that are on the earth, their experience with God, to enjoying a cool afternoon, to enjoying a nice breeze, simple things like that, to enjoying God working on their job, the favor that's on their job, multiple opportunities that come to them that they know they've never had before once they begin to really engage in their relationship, to financial matters taking place, to marriages, and in many different ways, because grace is available for every area. And if it's available for every area, then why shouldn't we experience it every single day? Now, this to me means more to people than almost anything in the world. This is really transforming people's lives.
Yeah, but I think most people that say they're saved, they're not even close to being saved.
Well, but what I'm talking about is individuals that I know that are actually progressing with this. And the cool part about it is once their eyes begin to open to the fact that grace, like your opening statements, well, what's the possibility the majority of people don't even recognize there is such a thing as grace? And once people start to have their eyes open to it, wow, it just begins to snowball from there for those that want it.
Well, if they choose it.
Right.
But I don't know. I really don't know why people don't choose it. It mystifies me why someone can spend literally a lifetime studying a philosophy and a religion and a book and memorize it and not grasp the point of the whole thing.
Right. Well, you know, as a minister, you know, we've talked about this before, you know, that as ministers, there's a responsibility there. Okay, well, if I was to look back at, I don't know if I want to call it a legacy, but let's just say in 20 years from now, I look back and I see, what have I accomplished? Well, if I'm to look back, what I would like to be able to look back and accomplish is to say that the people I was sharing with, the ones that were actually wanting to put it into practice, what I shared, began to experience God in a very real manner, not just once or twice in their life, but every single day, multiple times a day. And they began to grow personally in their relationship. I think really, you know, people don't ask those kind of questions because if they're to look back at what they're preaching and teaching, and then if they're to do the bigger thing, which is to ask people how that they're doing with the message, I think that's where they'd see that the wheels have come off. Because that's something I started years ago, which is after I preach, go into the congregation, go talk with the people and say, what did you get tonight? What did it do for you? What does it mean to you? And you really find out at that point, once you get somebody talking, whether they were listening or not. I think that's very important for us as ministers to look back and see what we're leaving with the people. Otherwise, maybe we're not communicating properly. I found that to be so early on, years ago. You ask somebody and they'd tell you what they think you said and it wouldn't be anywhere close. So what's the possibility if we're sharing the things that we're sharing right now that people are coming up with testimonies? And that's what I'm finding. It's very exciting.
Well, now, that's good. I don't know what you want me to say about this. I mean, I'm just listening to what you're saying.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is because, again, when I look at modern religion along these subjects of what we're talking about, it always seems to stop short of the real experience of God. For instance, as we'll talk about a little bit later, you know, the word love. We think of the word love just as being nice to somebody. But the word love and God's love for us and loving others has so much more to do with testifying of our experiences, of our progression with God. And so when I look back and see how I'm affecting people, the message that we're preaching right now is doing a better job affecting people than I've ever done before.
Oh, that's good.
Now, this to me is very exciting because at least I'm leaving something with people that's tangible. Now, the sad part about what I would say, and you would agree with this, is the numbers probably aren't very good as far as those that listen and those that actually do something with it. And you made the comment, I don't know why people, you know, don't want to go further. What about interjecting a couple of my thoughts earlier, you know, before we did the show, when I was asking you about that? Because I think your answer was really hardcore, straight to the point, which is weakness. A form of, you even said, hypocrisy.
Well, people are inherently weak.
Do you think that that's just a part of culture, how culture's raising them?
I think it has to do with a lot of things. I there, it seems that about every 15 to 20 years globally, man takes a giant leap backwards in personal accountability.
Okay.
I haven't met one single person in the last 30 days that isn't upset because there's a whole bunch of people coming over the border.
Right.
Into the U.S.
Right.
But when I ask them, what are they doing about it? They say, well, there's nothing I can do. And then I just think about how only 50% of the people in this country vote.
Mm-hmm.
This transcends into jobs. People don't want to be in charge. They don't want to be to blame. They don't want to be accountable. Well, if we're designing, creating, and living in a world and in a civilization and a society and a country where personal accountability is dismissed, or everything has a do-over, a plan B, and everybody is equal and there's no real it's your fault, it's on you,
right,
punishment type of attitude.
Right.
How can we expect someone to see such absolutes about grace? Because there's nothing about grace that is as obvious as what's in front of somebody's face and the life they're living.
Mm-hmm.
Because grace could care less about your job or what you wear.
Right.
Not God's love doesn't concern itself with what we as people think is important.
Yeah.
Because we give ourselves too many entitlements, too much credit, too much power, and there's a type of emotional greed that people have. And every generation it seems to just get a little worse. I remember when kids would get physically punished at school, and they wouldn't even tell the parents that the kid was spanked. I remember when I was a kid that if you did something wrong or if you said something wrong, any adult would punish you.
Right.
Would say something.
Yeah.
And yeah. It was expected.
And my dad was a high school disciplinarian.
So. And nowadays, that's not the case.
Right.
I think to help someone find grace and understand the language of Christ, they have to understand how the language and the way they look at the world is just so different and so off the chart bizarre, because there's no accountability whatsoever. If you don't like our religious service, well, there's 1,100 more buildings in this town you can go to. And if you can't make it at this time, well, you can make it at that time.
Or the church that has the modern service, the later service is a modern service, the early service is a traditional service.
They really do that?
Yep.
See, that's just stupid.
Yep.
Whoever designed that is an idiot.
Yeah. Well, think it puts all the emphasis on the kind of music you have, the kind of formality or lack of formality you have, the kind of dress you have, or the different type of dress. All of it's on the world and the flesh. It's not about people experiencing God.
There wasn't anything about the life of Jesus. There's not anything about the message that Jesus relayed and carried out through the land from his Father that was ever catered to anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I like that.
And there was never any concern who decided it was golden and who decided who it was junk or dangerous.
Yeah.
There was no care and concern.
Yeah.
It was just a matter of fact and absolute. And hi, my name is Jesus. My dad's name is God Christ. And if you're interested, here it is. And this is how it works. See? And okay, let's move on. And they would move on. There has to come a time when someone really wants grace in their lives, where they really need to understand how they're working against themselves.
Right.
You can only listen to this radio show for so long. You can only read so many books. You can only watch so many DVDs before you really don't need to listen or spend any more money.
Right.
There has to come a time where you look in the mirror and say, fish or cut bait. We would never allow a 45-year-old person to be a senior in high school.
Mm-hmm.
We would never allow someone who is 35 to play in Little League because they just weren't good enough to advance.
Right, right.
We'd say, enough time has passed.
Right.
You're just not playing the game right.
Right, play another game.
You've been a senior in high school for almost 40 years now.
Right.
You're just not getting the information. You're not going to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, none of the most logical, rational, practical application of rules and protocols and the assimilation and education of information and applying that information and proving that you have the information and you can do with it what you're supposed to, for some reason, organized religion really doesn't do that.
Hmm.
I mean, how long do you have to know Christ? How long do you have to have a relationship with Christ before prayers work?
Right.
Right away.
Right.
If we're born with grace, if we're born with God's love, the language of Christ, where you are literally born with it, if you're 45 years old and your prayers aren't working and you've been saved since you were 10,
right,
that's not 35 years of productivity. That's 35 years of going the wrong way.
Sure. Yeah, well, I look at something you said earlier about Jesus and, you know, about the message, how he'd walk from town to town and he'd say, here's the message. This is about my dad and here's who I am. And you think of what else he would do. He would reveal to people to beware of the Pharisees and their message that would hinder. And then after he did that, he'd basically pass out samples. He'd heal people. He'd set people free. He'd help them. So if you took that as an example of how Jesus loved people, that would be the way that we love people, is to pass out the samples of productivity.
Look how self-assured Jesus was. If you couldn't walk and you couldn't see after he said you were healed, he didn't care. He'd say, walk if you want to walk, go home, do whatever you want. It's up to you to decide whether you believe in Christ.
Right.
Now, I find that most people do not have that strength. It doesn't mean they're bad. They're not a coward. They're not somebody to be shunned or not someone that I would mind, you know, going fishing with or hunting or sharing a meal with, but they just don't have that strength to be strong enough to say, I'm wrong. It's me. I'm the problem. I don't know. From I think if somebody spends more than 20 minutes flipping through the pages of the Bible and they still don't get it, something's amiss.
Right.
I mean, because either the Bible's wrong, God's wrong, there is no God, the Bible is as useful as a roadmap for the U.S. from the 1940s. Where do people just finally come to terms and say, it's me, and I have to act accordingly to fix this?
Yeah.
And I just think that there comes a time when enough is enough. And what's interesting about when enough is when you're dying, when you're in so much pain you can't take it, when you can't walk, when things are so bad that you can't make it to another day, I find it ironic that all of a sudden people find grace. Because if there's a pill or a prescription or a $10 knee brace at Walmart,
right,
or a cane or a crutch or a wheelchair, or you live with somebody and they don't mind being your personal nurse slash body slave to take care of you,
right,
things just don't seem to get dire.
Mm-hmm.
People will sacrifice. They'll lose their identity. They'll swallow their pride and ego and become useless to themselves and the world and their family. But yet, they, for some reason, they won't humble themselves.
Right. Well, think about this scripture here in
John. That's weak, by the way.
Yeah, well, I get it. John 15, 7 and 8 that says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you'll ask what you will, and it shall be done of you of my Father. Now look at all the things BJ's been talking about. I just shared a scripture that goes right down through the middle of them, which is you're having a relationship with God. You're abiding constantly with him. He's abiding constantly with you, which means when you ask something, you actually receive it. And the next verse says, and by this is our Father glorified, that you would bear much fruit. Well, what would happen if the determination of a person's progress was based on the fruit that they were experiencing from God instead of how many services you went to, whether you lifted your hand or not? Remember the service you went to here in town, and someone came up and said you were reading the Bible, and they said you ought to be standing right now lifting your hands?
Yeah, you should be listening to the music, raising your hands.
And your thought was, okay, so what's closer to God than reading his word and figuring out how to experience him?
Or singing a song.
Right. I mean, you know, I mean, one's just as good as the other, and yet now I have to choose. You know, so my point is, what would happen, folks, if the whole perspective, the persona, I think would be a good word, of what a service is about is leading us into non-productivity, even though it seems to scratch the part of our heart that says we really do love God, but there's no productivity there. And this goes on and on and on for years and years and years, and you're brought into your experience, quote unquote, that really is, you know, lacking in experience with God in the midst of this. Now, if this goes on and you don't know any different, then why would you ever go to a religious service and question how come things aren't changing? Because that's all you've known. And yet, at the very heart of what is everything about this Bible about, it's about bringing you into an experience with grace so that you can have a real relationship with God. I'm seeing this, you know, this may be just kind of, you know, 101, class 101, you know, here as far as where we're going with this, but I see it as extremely important. When I'm preaching out there, I can verify that the majority of what people think fellowship is all about is just hanging around people that are like you that don't really have any testimony. What people think a service is about is just going and listening to somebody talk lifting your hands, doing worship, and saying amen.
And that's it. That's all I need to do.
That's it.
I've put my time in.
And that's so sad. I mean, I'm looking at, I looked up the word grace, and I already knew it was in here. But the fact that every book Paul wrote, he started and he finished. Like a double stuffed cookie, okay? Oreo. He started and he finished with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and his peace be multiplied unto you. I mean, what was he trying to say? There's something here for you to experience. You don't have to go looking for it. It's right there for you. You don't have to work for it. It's already been purchased for you. But you do need to choose to experience it. And everything in between those two cookies, Paul wrote to either enlighten you to more grace or to warn you about the mentalities that would keep you from grace.
And if you look at the book of Jesus, that was the topic of the punishment. To take away grace.
The book of Genesis, you mean?
Yeah, that's what he did. Took away grace.
Yeah. Yeah.
He took away grace and provided them with a reality that is more like our day today now.
Yeah, that's right. Do it yourself. Work hard for it.
And what people don't realize is that they're taking grace away from themselves because of their small little choices. You know, Adam and Eve didn't lose grace because they killed somebody.
Right.
They didn't lose grace because they lied or they cheated on each other or they kicked the neighbor's dog.
Right.
They lost grace because Christ asked something of them and they chose to ignore it.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of people on a daily basis, Jim, that choose to ignore grace.
Yeah.
If you ignore grace, why would you expect to have grace? If you ignore grace, why in the world would someone think that grace is there to assist them? And if you look at the, we're talking about the first book. If you look at the last book, Revelations, what happens in Revelations?
Right. It's all about the people that missed it.
There is no more grace.
Yeah.
There's heaven and those who are going there and those who are not. But as far as the world and the flesh is concerned, grace has come to a violent, epic, dramatic, screeching halt.
Yeah.
So, and God says, I know the Alpha and the Omega. Yeah. I know the beginning and the end. If grace is taken away from people in the beginning of the book and grace comes to an end in the last chapter of the book, then it means that somewhere in between, every person has an opportunity to communicate with Christ or ignore Christ. And it's on them.
Right.
It's an individual choice. And if you agree, you say, oh, yes, I was born with grace. Everybody was born with grace. Well, then that means that you were born with the ability to talk to God, to enjoy God's love. That's what grace is. So if you're older than 10 years of age, you might want to start asking, where did I go wrong?
Yeah, I think you'll enjoy this because
did you like that?
I did because it just basically is words.
Well, hold on a second because I'm going to have some candy.
Okay, because I'm not here.
I'm not going to give you it. What happened before the show tonight?
You weren't going to give me any candy because I wasn't here.
For Tuesday night.
Right.
I said, why would I give you candy when
you're not here?
You're not even here. It doesn't make any sense to share.
That's right.
And on that note, Jim's not in the barn. Where are you?
I'm in North Carolina around the Charlotte area.
Are they taking you out for breakfast?
Breakfast Ed and Breakfast Tim.
Mm-hmm. Are you bringing me back some eggs, hash browns, and toast from North Carolina in your suitcase?
Don't think so.
And then I'm not going to give you any candy. Seems fair to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bring me breakfast, I'll bring you candy.
I don't know what kind of shape it would look like if I brought it. Probably wouldn't be too good.
Probably not.
No.
I know. Hey, I can buy good candy. I know how to make candy bad. But on that note, folks, if you're sending text messages.
Right.
And you wonder why I haven't read them on the air. Well, I mean, we pre-recorded the show. I can't read on the air.
Right.
But I wish you would send text messages because it's just me and Ranger.
Yeah.
And think of it this way, folks. You can finally say anything that you want about Jim because he won't be here.
Well, that's great. That's great.
You should have seen the look on your face. So, folks, anything that you've ever wanted to say, now's the night to do it. Email to the name of the show, The Abiding Presence, at G, the letter Gmail.
And I'll never know.
.com. You'll never know. Or you can send a text message. The first word that you type in your message has to be the word grace. And then type the rest of your message and send it to this 5-digit high-speed number, 69302. It is a Tuesday night. It is the 5th of August, but we recorded this show last Friday night. And since Jim isn't going to be here when I stream this, and it's just going to be me and Ranger, I've just decided for the rest of the show, I'm just going to pretend that he's already gone.
Oh, okay. All right, well, while you got your eyes closed, I'll go ahead and just comment on the last thing that you said over here in Romans chapter 8, and I think it's verse 5, and this is in the Message Bible. Listen to how well this goes along with what BJ said. You might not be able to remember it after all that's just been said, but anyhow, I think this will bring you back up to date here. It says, those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. We're talking about Adam and Eve again. Remember, because God's grace
was
removed.
Focus on self. See what that says there.
Anyone absorbed in self ignores God. There's the word ignore. Ignores God. Ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what he is doing. And God isn't pleased at being ignored. Pretty good, isn't it?
Kind of sounds like what I was talking about.
Exactly. So now here over in Hebrews 12:25, it says, so don't turn a deaf ear to these gracious words. If those who ignored earthly warnings didn't get away with it, what will happen to us if we turn our backs on heavenly warnings? See, this is a theme here. Paul's got to warn people about what's non-productive so that people can make those decisions to experience God. You know, the sad thing is if no one's experiencing God, then everybody fits into this same little category. And basically, your life is based on the things you do for your establishment. But wouldn't it be better, instead of finding peace and comfort in coming to a place where everybody meets together and no one really has any testimonies, you have the same stories that everybody can relate to, and you're going to have a prayer meeting that doesn't produce any results? Wouldn't it be better if people started coming to services where they literally had stories and their testimonies of their prayers being answered on a regular, consistent basis? Think about what that would mean to a newcomer who would come maybe from another building or business, and where they normally never heard anything good as far as people experiencing God. They come and they begin to fellowship with not the pastor, just the normal people in the service or before the service or after the service, and they're listening to nothing but testimonies. Think about that, what that would say to them as far as what they're going to receive by coming to that service. It says, I'm going to find God. I'm finally going to get my prayers answered. Boy, that's just such a difference from what's normally going on out there.
Well, and until you accept what's normal as abnormal, you don't have a lot of motivation to take an accounting of yourself.
Well, here's the deal. You know, I had to think for just a second about what you said, you know, except what is normal as abnormal. Well, here's the deal. I can just tell you right now, the 9.8 out of 10 people are never going to consider that where they're going, what they're doing, how they're doing it is anything but what is normal and what is correct, even though it doesn't work. Literally, there has been spun a web of deception where it doesn't really have to work. It's just about how you're doing it.
So many times people, I mean, all right, you shouldn't drink and drive. Smoking cigarettes is bad.
And by the way, they're starting to do experiments with how much weed you can have now and how impaired you can be and what's acceptable to drive by being semi-high or all the way high or not. It's unbelievable.
Well, that's because of medical marijuana.
I know.
Yeah. Big money. Hey, just a basic business tip, folks. If you really want to invest in the future, educate yourself on how to grow marijuana.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm serious. Over the next 5 years, there'll be more and more states that where marijuana is legal, and you can, there's even a class on the internet online, a U.S. government class that teaches you how to be in the medical marijuana business.
Wow.
Makes you a millionaire.
Wow.
Yep. So stop being a school teacher. Don't be a doctor anymore. And don't sell real estate. And don't help underprivileged kids.
Just grow weed, right?
Grow weed.
Hmm.
That's the advice of the show. Grow pot.
Wow. Okay.
I know right now there's probably at least a few people, probably a bunch, that are saying, okay, fine, you're talking about this, how it's on us, and we always talk about this accountability on the radio show and how we have to choose. And people are saying, how do you do that? How do I do that? Help me understand. What's the recipe? How do I choose? How do I know? Well, we can't. I've said this before on the show, one of the greatest mistakes that God ever made was giving people free choice. He should have just reeled us in a little bit and said, well, you can do what you want, but only to a point.
Mm-hmm.
It would be so much easier. But then you really wouldn't have that free choice devotion that Christ is striving for people to choose.
Yeah, we wouldn't have been made in his image and likeness all the way.
No. Yeah. No, we wouldn't. I don't know how to answer it more than how do you choose anything? I know for a fact that if somebody doesn't like Chinese food, they're not going to go to an all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet. They just won't go. They'll say, I don't want to go. I don't understand what they're saying. I don't like the smell. I don't like the way the food looks. I'm not going. I would rather starve than go to a Chinese all-you-can-eat restaurant.
Hmm.
I'm not going to go listen to that music because I can't stand that music.
Right.
I don't care how much you pay me. I'm not going. I don't care if it hurts your feelings. I don't care if it's your birthday. I'm not going. I've never met anyone who doesn't have standards, limits, and boundaries as to what they will or will not do.
Yeah.
And most of the time, ironically, the highest standards, the place that they're like draw a line in the dirt and say, I'm not going to do it, is more about what they like and don't like. It's more about personal choices.
Right.
But yet, they do it all the time. And the older we get, we become professionals at it.
Sure.
But we don't apply that to a relationship with God.
No.
We don't apply that same energy, that same draw a line in the dirt. We just don't.
No, but that's the biggest thing that's missing.
It is.
Because that's what separates you from the life of the world that you knew and the new life in Christ.
But if you're on a desert island with no rescue, if you're in a hospital dying, you're in a prison cell on death row, well, all the things that were important to you, they've been taken away from you.
Right. You're almost forced to draw a line in the sand at that
point. And it's literally a matter of life and death.
And so, as we said earlier, isn't it interesting that it's those people that usually are the ones that find grace? I mean, where grace could be so easily found for everybody, people usually wait until they come to the end of themselves to find it, which the path that I'm on, in fact, right now at the library, what we've been talking about is coming to the end of yourself. And we've been posing the question, is it possible to come to the end of yourself in the way you see life without having to have a disaster?
But see, that's the key right there. The key word in everything that we're talking about is you, yourself. You, me, and I.
Mm-hmm.
You have to come to terms with what you will tolerate or not tolerate.
Right.
You have to decide when you want a relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's the recipe.
Right.
And for some reason, people have difficulty with that. Maybe it's because if it doesn't work, they don't have anybody to blame. There's no one to share the misery with.
Right.
There's nobody to pray with. It just means that you have failed.
Okay, and then just a blanket statement here, because I know you're a person of history. This has progressively become worse in our generation, hasn't it?
Every generation it's worse.
Right. So if you go back far enough, how far would you go back and see that things weren't like this? I mean, I can remember...
They've always been like this. It was like this in the time of Jesus, Jim. I mean, look at Paul and who he was writing to. Some of the people he wrote to had used grace themselves.
Right.
Knew that grace existed.
Hmm.
But yet they kind of shelved it and went back to their day-to-day existence.
Right.
So saying, how far does it go back? It goes back all the way.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to bring in then something here. This is over in 1 John. And this is a real interesting chapter. And I'm going to bring in some thoughts because I think it'll really, really help here. 1 John, and we look at the beginning here. And the reason why I'm going to read this beginning like this is because I want you to see really what John's saying here. And remember, keep in light that we've already said that Paul, before and then as he concluded, he'd always talk about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So listen here in 1 John chapter 1. It says, from the very first day we were there, taking it all in, we heard it with our own ears. Now he's talking about taking it all in, meaning taking in the experience with Jesus. We heard it with our own ears, we saw it with our own eyes, verified it with our own hands. The word of life appeared right before our eyes, we saw it happened. And now we're telling you in most sober prose that what we witnessed was incredibly this. The infinite life of God himself took shape before us. We saw it, we heard it, and now we're telling you so you can experience it along with us, this experience of communion with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Our motive for writing is simply this. We want you to enjoy this too. Your joy will double our joy. Now, if you took that right there, that two paragraphs, what's John saying is the purpose of this book that he's getting ready to write? The purpose of it is to say, we experienced it.
Right.
We want you to experience it. It's brought us joy. It'll bring you joy. I mean, do we need to be any more clear than that?
No.
Okay, well then, if I start reading here, and I'm coming over now to the fourth chapter, and I'm going to be talking about the word love right here, then I want you to help me, those that are listening, with what this really means. Because it has to mean something a little different than we thought. It goes on to say, this is how, verse 13 of chapter 4, this is how we know we're living steadily and deeply in him, excuse me, and he in us. He's given us life from his life, from his very own spirit. Now, what does that sound like but an experience with God and his grace? Also, we've seen for ourselves and continue to state openly that the Father sent his Son as Savior into the world. Everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son participates continuously in an intimate relationship with God. We know it so well. We've embraced it heart and soul. This love that comes from God. What is the love that comes from God, everyone? It's God's continual grace everywhere at all times for you to begin to experience how real God is. This has to be clear because the next verse says God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. What's a life of love? It's a continual experience of grace. Now, when I grew up, a life of love was all about being syrupy sweet to people. Now, that doesn't mean I'm trying to take away the ability to be kind to someone, to be respectful to someone. I mean, we've been out on the ranch here, and I remember going over. Remember the older lady that's north of us? Remember we were doing work trying to find her mare? Wasn't it her mare?
Yep. Her name's Lucille.
Well, I mean, look at – you're there talking for 15 minutes.
Yep.
And – part of the conversation is with her daughter that isn't altogether there, you know.
Right.
And that girl, whatever, you know, even though she's kind of grown, she thinks the world of you because you've spent time just being normal, nice, saying funny things that make them laugh.
Connie's like 44, 45 years old, and her mom, Lucille, is like 85 or 86.
Right.
And Connie was born, you know, mentally retarded or handicapped, whatever it's called.
Right.
And so she has the mind of a little kid. And, you know, she looks a little funny and, you know, she's hard to understand when she talks. And, well, people avoid her.
Right.
I don't know if they're afraid or whatever, but I'll talk to her.
Right. And she gets excited as can be.
Yeah. And frankly, most of the time, I'm clueless as to what that girl's telling me.
That's part of what I was saying is I'm sitting there watching this conversation, and I'm realizing that half of what she just said, you don't even have a clue.
No, I get about a third of it. But she loves Ranger.
Yeah, but at the same time, you were endeavoring to connect at the same time.
Okay? I treat her like everybody else.
There you go. All right, when I make this comment about this is how we've always looked at what love is all about, it doesn't mean that it's not a part of it. But my point is, when you look at this, a life of love is an experience with God's grace all the time. Yep. It's the simple decisions that connect you to God that makes him real. Now, if we insert this even into the book of John, all of a sudden it turns into a different book. And I said that to you. I'm going to go back and read this completely differently.
Well, see, I think that what you just said is important. As much as you know that book of John, and as old as you are, you're saying now that, you know, the little conversation that we had and the questions that you asked me and the answers I gave you before the show, you said, I have to read this book with new eyes because it's a perspective.
Right, sure.
I think maybe that will help people to understand that the information is there. It's just, how are you perceiving it?
Okay.
What flavor are you looking at it? Are you looking at it through rose-colored glasses when you should be looking at through pumpkin-flavored glasses? Are you saying, is the book of John telling you a story of chocolate when it really should be a story of peanut butter? The information is there, but your own life experiences and your own religious background may be part of the problem.
Sure.
And speaking of problems, we have a major problem.
What's that?
Have you noticed my phone going crazy?
Yeah.
You know why it's going crazy? Because there is a 3.5-ton mustard yellow truck sitting down at the front gates of the ranch.
Oh, really?
With a big white swan on the side.
Oh, my goodness. We're going to get to steal the swan truck.
Well, it's kind of hard because the district manager is driving it. His name is Jeff.
Yeah.
And lost another route driver. And he left me a message. He says, I know you're home. You never go anywhere.
That's good.
He sits there and he says, I'm trying to get up there. He says, I got stuff for you. And he says, I'll be back a little bit. I got one more stop. So I looked at the clock, and this is a first for the show. But
yeah.
I'm actually going to step out of the barn.
Okay.
Make a phone call.
And the guy that's not here can get to talk a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, this will be payback. It's
a ghost.
You'll say it's the ghost of Huckaday. Woo! See, this is your opportunity to talk bad about me.
Yeah, well,
but just remember, I'm going to hear it next Tuesday night. But I mean, and here's the thing: I told this guy to stop by the ranch tonight, and so I'm going to stick by my word.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how I am about what I say.
Yeah.
And so, but I want to ask you, and we have to do it on the air, you're going home right after the show. Is there anything you want to take home?
Yeah, I need to take some of home of the cherry ice cream.
The dark cherry cherry ice cream?
Yeah.
Okay. Nothing else?
I'll tell you what. I'll just...
I got a catalog. You know the shame of this, Jim? You know what the real shame of this is? Is that right now, there's a few of our listeners that are just falling out of their seats laughing.
And they can't communicate with us.
Right. They can't communicate because the show's pre-recorded. But they're going to send me emails and texts. But no, the really shame of it is that there is a person who's searching for grace who happened across this show. And so far tonight, their eyes are starting to be open. They're starting to think that maybe this show can offer them something. And all of a sudden, they're going to say, these two guys are idiots. they've literally slammed the brakes on the show because there's a Swan's ice cream truck at the front gates of the ranch.
Okay, do you still have that credit card?
I'm going to try to find it.
If you do.
Well, if I don't, I'll just pay for it. But
if you do, here's my thing.
Dave and Barb sent that card.
I know. All I want is two of those dark cherries, okay? I wonder if I should try to get one that the kids would like. That would be nice. Well, they've already got some ice cream at home. But get me two of those dark cherries, and then whatever else is on that card, you just use it. Does that sound okay?
Are you sure?
I think it was $50, and each dark cherry is about $8. So that'll be about $16 for me. You use the other $35.
You know what? We've had it so long, I don't know where it is. We might have to do. Well, he comes to the ranch every 2 weeks.
You'll be able to find it though eventually. I mean, maybe not while we're doing the show, but.
Well, yeah. I mean, it. You know, but. I'm going to step out and make a phone call.
Okay.
Well, no, I'm going to step out, make a phone call,
yeah.
and make contact with him.
Go ahead.
At least people know that, you know, we're true in what we say. We're honest about
it. Sure, go right ahead. All right, everybody. Now it's time to party a little bit. I wish I had control of the board. I could put my favorite song on. There you go. Thank you, BJ, before you left. You just got us in the mood. All right, everyone. It's time to talk a little bit here without BJ being in the room. So let's just see what we'll talk about.
Come on, girl. Let's go.
We'll wait till he gets out. So.
Hey, hand me my machine.
Your phone?
Yeah.
I don't see it right there.
Oh, okay. I got it.
Okay. So I really do want to take this opportunity to elaborate on this subject here. Do you know the fruits of the Spirit are a part of every born-again individual? The love, the joy, the faith, the kindness, gentleness, the peace, and the self-control. They're all a part of, and I may have missed one. I could go over to Galatians chapter 5 and get those, but those fruits of the Spirit are all there. And you know, there is a mark of an individual where you can see that the hatred of somebody when they come to Christ is filled with the love of God, and they love people versus have a hatred for people. I get that. And by no means am I tearing down that at all. That's a part of our Christianity. But what I'm saying is we put all of our eggs in that basket of just being nice to somebody. That's what it means to show that you love people. Because I want to read a little bit more here in John, and you'll really see it. Over here in verse 16, it finishes up by saying, God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. Now, when I say that life of love, that doesn't mean, think about that. How can it literally have an impact to just say a life of love is just being nice to people and that means God lives in us? That's not what he's talking about there. A life of love is a life of experiencing God himself. That's what John initially put all of the emphasis in his message on. And that is, we heard him, we felt him, we saw him, the life of God manifested before us, and we share him with you so that you can experience him too. So this life of love is experiencing God. Having multiple testimonies, and we're going to say it again, and I don't mind being redundant, of God's grace, because grace is everywhere. We've shared on this show the many testimonies that BJ has shared about grace just being everywhere, and it's a matter of whether you want to see it or not, whether you want to slow down, turn away from what you've known the world to be, and begin to get simple again and just see God, find God. Well, that's available for everybody. So when we say here, and when the scriptures say, when we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we're talking about when you take up permanent residence in experiencing God's grace. Then, now it makes sense to say, we live in God and God lives in us. Let me continue. This way, love has the run of the house. Or in other words, the priority is your progression in your experience with God, has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us, so that we're free of worry on judgment day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ. There's no room for love. There's no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. In other words, a life that is literally experiencing God, why would there be any room for fear? There isn't. It's just non-existent. Uh-oh.
Yes!
Did you find it?
I found it.
Okay. Is he coming back?
You know, it was right where I thought it would be when I looked everywhere else. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It says, to Jim, BJ, and Ranger, from your listener, value $50, just had to do this. Enjoy. So we'll take advantage of this tonight.
Awesome. Good.
And you know what? I made a mistake. This wasn't from Dave and Barb. This is from Lori.
Oh.
In Tulsa with the last name of S.
Okay.
You know why I got mixed up is because Dave and Barb always mess with us and tell us how they have ice cream and
yeah.
we don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, this is from Lori, okay. whose last name starts with an S on Quebec. In Tulsa, so okay. thanks to her.
And it's a $50 gift certificate, isn't it?
Yeah, but we're not going to use all of it tonight, but we don't have to.
No.
You're going to like this. I'm considered a special preferred customer with Swans.
You are?
Yeah, you want to know why?
Because it has to do with a certain amount of money you've
Well, it's spent. Not really money. It's about effectiveness of, they've never come to the ranch where I haven't bought something. And
okay.
usually it's 25%. Their goal is that 25% of the people they talk to buy something. Hmm. And I'm have a perfect record. Every time they reach out, I buy
right.
something.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yep.
Well, by the time he comes back and we get that ice cream, it'll be about time to probably close the show down.
The show is we've recorded
about an hour and 25 minutes.
No, we have recorded 1 hour and 14 minutes.
14, okay.
So I think what's going to happen is I bet he'll be back in about 15 minutes. There's somebody else okay. Out in the country as well that he goes to. Because
mm-hmm.
he said, well, I'll be back after my last stop, and I left him a message. You know, the interesting thing about grace being a language is that I don't think people understand what we mean by language. And I think that words are so misused nowadays. People will say, well, I met somebody that knows you. I met a friend of yours.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, your first response is, well, who? Who's what friend of mine did you meet? Who,
right.
You know, and they say, well, I met Tom. And maybe Tom is somebody that you don't like,
mm-hmm.
that's at your job. And you go, he doesn't know me.
Right.
I don't like him. We just work in the same building. Well, look how upset and defensive you get because somebody said, I met a friend of yours. I met someone who knows you. And if it's somebody you like, you say, oh, yeah. But if it's, say, the police are asking, well, you know this person, you're friends with them, and you say, well, I really don't know them that well.
Right.
I mean, they live across the street from me, and I've said hi, and I know their kids' names, but it's not like we're friends. I really don't have a friendship, a relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have the ability to understand what friendship means, what relationship means. And we're always willing and ready to either admit that we have a relationship or deny it. But once again, for mm-hmm. some reason that mystifies me, when it comes to the guys, when it comes to Christ Jesus, grace and the Holy Spirit, when it comes to the four of them, and it comes to organized religion, and it comes to the Bible, there is not the same motivation to be accurate, to be precise.
Right.
I've been saved. I have a relationship with Jesus.
Right.
Okay. What's that relationship like? Have you seen Jesus? Have you talked to Jesus? Have your prayers been answered? Are you happy? Or does your life have problems? Well, I've got some arthritis, and I've had a back surgery, and it looks like I'm not going to have to move. We can't afford to live here anymore. Well, where's Jesus?
Right.
Where's this quote-unquote relationship? What is Jesus suggesting you do about all this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you mean? You said you had a relationship with God.
Right.
And maybe this is the tipping point for somebody that's listening to the show tonight.
Okay.
To be more specific
right.
and exact with your definition of words.
Right.
Unfortunately, words don't mean anything, but they might in this situation.
Sure.
You can't go by the calendar or holidays or the clock, because there are a lot of people that have a lot of grace that don't adhere to the calendar or the clock in the USA.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that could never understand this radio show, but have a relationship with the guys. Perfect example, Fred's congregation in Germany.
Sure.
They don't listen to the show because they only speak and understand German. That doesn't mean that they are not children of God.
Sure.
But not the sound of the words, not the way they're spelt, but what those words mean. And there's clues to this.
Yeah.
We go to where it says, if you think you're going to say something, mm-hmm. cut your tongue out.
Right.
Well, if you're going to say something bad and you don't even say it, then it isn't about the words, is it, Jim?
No.
It's about what? The
thoughts.
Feelings.
Mm-hmm.
The feelings, emotions, the thoughts behind those words.
Right, right, right.
Maybe this is a recipe, a tip, a shortcut for people to understand about the language
right.
of Christ.
Well, you know.
What do you think?
Yeah, well, you remember what Paul said when he said, the weapons of our warfare are not mighty through God, but are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of imaginations and thoughts and the knowledge that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So think about it. What BJ just said, it's not just words. It's the feelings, the emotions, and the thoughts that are behind it. And what if the language of God had to do with the feelings, the emotions, and the thoughts that are produced where there's an experience with God and it's taken to another level, the right level, instead of just words and worshiping? And don't get me wrong, I love to sing and I love to be in a place to worship God because it means something to me. But what I'm saying is, what if there was something more? Just like when I was talking here and it says loving God includes loving people. You've got to do both in verse 21 of the fourth chapter of 1 John. What if loving people means more than just being nice? What if it means sharing testimony of grace? Because then we go again into how do you interpret those words? Does it stay consistent with the message? And the message is not about just getting a brand new start. The message... I need to say something one more time, and then you, BJ, give me your thought, because
I think I know where you're going with this.
We said something a long time ago that was very important. I think it got missed, but everybody always wants to say it's just about Jesus. It's just about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Well, it is, in that Jesus has given us this amazing new start. But Jesus is the bridge that gets you to God.
Yeah.
And see, you have to go past the start with Jesus over into the experience with his Father.
Well, I've mentioned it many times that, and I almost say it with a certain amount of sarcasm and disrespect. So you've been saved. So you've been baptized. And you've participated in communion. So what? Where are you going now? And we talked about it four shows ago, where Jesus, soon as he was baptized, it like filled his sails full of wind.
Yes.
Because his mindset was, now that I've been baptized, what could he then do?
Now it's time to go to work.
It's time to go to work.
Yep.
Think of this, the baptism of Jesus was not a confirmation, not an affirmation. It wasn't the goal. It wasn't the end of the line, the success. It wasn't the brass ring. It was just the opposite. The baptism was a catalyst, was a start.
Yeah, yeah. It was the beginning of Jesus beginning to have a wonderful experience with God himself. So if this is true, and it is, think about what it really means for us to have the beginning, that experience that goes beyond just a salvation over into the daily walk with God. And what better way to have a daily walk with God than for you to begin to recognize where grace is in everything that you do?
Okay, what do you want? You wanted two dark cherries.
That's it.
You don't want the caramel sea salt cashew?
No, just two dark cherries.
Okay.
Yep, that's it. And then you use everything else. Okay, folks, he's out of the barn. Oh, my goodness. Wow, this is the first. I don't even almost know how to act. I can just say really anything I want to say. This is actually great. Okay, well, send in some emails about what you think about the show with just me here. No, actually, don't do that. Let's just continue to enjoy some of these thoughts here, because I get excited about this. And everywhere I preach, I look forward to the opportunity to talk with ministers about this. Some of them, we have great and amazing talks. Others, not so good. They can't get past the language, saying things a little differently, putting a different emphasis on experiencing God on a regularity. And then finding grace everywhere and seeing God's evidence everywhere, or the influence of God or the favor of God, all different ways to talk about grace, the favor of God everywhere. So then why wouldn't you be having testimonies if God's favor is everywhere? and if His favor is on your life, why wouldn't things be enhanced where your life takes on a more spiritual, experiential type of lifestyle where God really can be seen for more than just your flesh? Come on, we all know what it's like to live a day completely in the flesh, drowning in the world, just going through the motions and routines that we've always done. This is what we're fighting against. When Paul talks about fighting the good fight of faith, it's staying steadfast to being a spiritual being connected with God, enjoying grace, and preaching a message that he will not compromise, that allows people to find God, experience God, and stay connected to God. Well, that's contrary to all the religion that was in the world at that time. And Paul had to fight against people being stirred up to stop that. You could say it this way. If one thing Satan really wanted to stop, or negative energy really wanted to stop in the earth, he really would want to stop people from finding out that God was real and that you could actually experience him. And by experiencing mean you could walk with him, you could talk with him, and have the same type of lifestyle that Adam and Eve had, where God literally was involved in everything that you did. And with God's strength, that's what Paul was saying. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. With God's strength in your life, with God's influence in your life, the influence of grace, the influence of love, why wouldn't everything you do have a wonderful, well, I can go to some scripture over in 2 Corinthians and chapter 3 and chapter 4 where Paul says that the individuals in those Corinthians he was talking to, that they literally were like a fragrance of God unto success versus a fragrance of death unto failure. And he said, I don't even need a letter of recommendation for you or from you because your lives are living manifested epistles. In other words, someone just needs to go along and watch you, like send a stenographer around with you for a 24-hour period of time, and they would come back with a novel of experiences that you're having with God. Now that's what we're preaching. That's what we're revealing to you that you can have. And it's as simple as you beginning to acknowledge the grace of God. This afternoon, we had some friends over, and people were just enjoying the backyard and enjoying time with one another. I couldn't help but sit there and notice grace everywhere, everywhere, constantly, in the laughter, in the friendships, in the beautiful breeze where Tulsa should right now be 105 degrees, and it literally was in the 80s with a beautiful breeze that was almost cool. Folks, you can find grace if you want to find grace. You can see even in nature the most beautiful and wonderful things, how that God's handiwork is involved. If we go back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where Solomon says, trust the Lord with all your heart. It means that God wants to be involved with everything that's important to your heart. Acknowledge him in all your ways. What does it mean? But God literally is available to be involved in everything that you do. And your acknowledgement of him will cause him to be able to direct your paths. In other words, that means he'll be able to get involved and change the circumstance so that you find that the favor of God gives you a godly success, something beyond what you could accomplish yourself. It's over into the arena where you just sit back and marvel at what God can do. Now, let me share this thought with you. I'll try to get to the scripture while I'm talking, but over in and I believe it's over in Ephesians. I'm going to turn there right now. But you'll find that it says that we're going to have experiences with God forever. Hey, are you back?
They only got one cherry. You want a Butterbrickle or a Rocky Road?
Butterbrickle. Haven't had that forever. That's
or
great.
Like butter pecan. That's good, too.
Do they have a Butterbrickle?
I don't know. They might have a butter pecan.
Okay, do this. The kids will love cookie dough.
They got cookie dough.
Okay, get that.
You know what else I get for the workers on the ranch?
What's that?
Root beer float popsicles. It's got root beer on
really?
The outside with vanilla ice cream on the inside. Tastes like
really?
Root beer floats.
Oh my goodness.
Okay,
well,
so what do you want?
Just get the cookie dough and the cherry.
Okay.
Okay. I'm coming back here to let's see if I can find it here. I think it's Colossians 2. Let me turn there, and it says, no, it's Ephesians. So a little slow part here of the show. Just let me find this, and I'll get right there. Okay. It goes on to say this. It says here, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up to sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So what does it say? It says, in the ages to come, when we're over in glory with Jesus, we're over in heaven with the Lord throughout all the eons and eons. That just talking about ages and years and millions of years. We're going to get to see a new show of God's grace every single day. It's going to be a constant 24/7 light spectacular of grace. And we're going to see that in glory forever, because grace will never run out. The love of God, which is the grace of God, and the grace of God is the love of God, will never stop throughout all the ages in heaven. Well, do you remember when Jesus made the comment? He said, pray this way, our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, if in all the eons to come, we're going to experience grace 24/7. Don't you think God wants us to experience that right now, which is the difference between your prayers being answered, you seeing the cancer die in your body and no longer being afraid because you're so confident in grace and you're learning to experience it everywhere? To seeing your eardrum restored, to seeing the ringing in the ear stop, to seeing all the joint pain stop, to seeing your mental faculties begin to come back. Instead of losing ground, you gain ground mentally. We talked about that before, that when an individual begins to experience more and more of God's grace, your mental faculties will be quickened. Think about why Adam and Eve had such mental prowess. It's because they were fellowshipping with God. They were so connected to God. Well, a connection with God will change everything about who you are. So wrap some of these thoughts up, and I'm going to go back to John, 1 John, because as I go back here, I'm going to wrap this up by going right back and reading what I did earlier. And that is 1 John and chapter 1, and we'll start right there at verse 1. So give me just a second to get here, and I want you to see this here. All right. 1 John chapter 1, it says here in the Amplified, we are writing about the word of life in him who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard, whom we have seen with our own eyes, whom we have gazed upon for ourselves and have touched with our own hands. That sounds like an amazing connection. And you know, you think about it with the disciples, just like Adam and Eve. How much drama did Adam and Eve have when they were connected to God? And the answer is zero. It all started when the connection failed. How much drama did the disciples have while they were connected with Jesus? And the answer is none. You don't see any of them sick. You don't see any of them having a problem with being provided for, with having a place to sleep, with having food to eat. In fact, even when there was no food, Jesus would give thanks unto the Father with a little lunch, and it would be created into feeding multitudes of people. And the disciples got to pick up baskets full of leftovers, and the people ate till they're full. That sounds like provision, doesn't it? So you come to the second verse, and it says, and the life, an aspect of his being, was revealed, made manifest, and demonstrated, and we saw as eyewitnesses and were testifying to and declaring to you the life, the eternal life in him who already existed with the Father and who actually was made visible, was revealed to us, his followers. Notice they were declaring and testifying. Testifying and revealing the eternal life, which was what? The experiences with grace. Glory to God. This is really what we're sharing here. How many people want to experience God all during the day and literally begin to live in a connection where your connection grows, it increases, and the drama of life decreases and disappears? I can't see you, but I'm assuming that if you're listening to this show, you got both hands up in the air and you're saying, Jim, I want that kind of life. Well, it's not difficult. This is why John wrote the book. It says here, verse 3, what we have seen and ourselves heard, we are also telling you so that you too may realize and enjoy fellowship. Remember, fellowship isn't just talking about. Fellowship is revealing testimonies of Christ. Enjoy fellowship as partners and partners with us. And this fellowship that we have, which is a distinguishing mark of Christians, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Look at what it said. It's the distinguishing mark of Christians, which is what? The fellowship, the testimonies, the experience of God as a person, and the experience of Jesus Christ as a person. And then I'll finish it up in verse 4 that says, and we are now writing these things to you so that your joy in seeing you included may be full and your joy may be complete. It's all about experiencing God. And boy, does it change your life. You begin to really experience what life is about and why God loved us so that we could experience grace all the time. Well, I see that you're back. How did it go?
Well, how'd it go for you?
I enjoyed it, but you know what?
You like doing the show without me, don't you?
Well, no.
It's better, right?
No, it's not better at all. I really had moments where you really could have been talking, but I was finding a scripture, and I missed that
because
ability
I really...
to basically say, it's yours. You know, so, but folks, this is really good, and definitely send in some emails about what you think about the show tonight. I think we're on a great topic, and you know, to be honest, you know, we've always said this. Number one, times we have talking where we're not on the air usually is the best radio.
Without a doubt.
And here we are without the ability to communicate to the people while the show's going on, and I think we're hitting the nail on the head with this show.
I got you a surprise.
Okay.
I got you a pot roast.
You did?
Yeah, they're great.
Wow.
It's huge.
Woo.
And I went $1.57 over the $50, shot the wad.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
You got stuff too, though, right?
Well, you got a pot roast and one cherry ice cream.
Okay.
And I got a box of those root beer ice cream bars for the workers on the ranch.
Yep.
And I bought a package of corn on the cobs.
Okay.
So that's how it ended up. The ranch workers got popsicles, I got corn on the cob, and you got pot roast and ice cream. I kind of split it up.
I bet you Sue's going to have something to say about this part of the conversation.
Well, none of the stuff is in this building, because this building's refrigerator is full from Wednesday.
Oh.
Which was just 2 days ago.
Where Swans came out?
Yeah, where Swans was out here. I filled this freezer up a couple days ago.
I didn't know you had another one.
Yeah, I put...
Yeah, you have one in the barn?
Actually, what I did was the other barn, I put the other building where a lot of work is done as well, I put a refrigerator in there, brand new.
Oh, cool.
Bought a new refrigerator, keep it full of Gatorade, sports drinks, and water.
Yeah.
And the whole freezer is full of popsicles.
That also eliminates people coming in your house, too.
Well, yeah, but all the freezers are full.
Yeah.
Because even the big house is full of Swans.
Okay.
I filled two refrigerators, two buildings, two refrigerator freezers are full Wednesday.
Hmm.
And the last building with a refrigerator got filled tonight. So there are three buildings with three freezers that are packed with Swans.
Oh, okay.
So I did my due diligence supporting the company.
I guess you did.
So what I missed, did you talk or did you just like sing songs? Did you,
you
know, tell people to, you know, disregard anything that the Cowboys ever said?
No, I talked. I had a good time.
You know what was kind of funny? What happened out there?
Huh.
Is I told you it was Jeff, the district manager.
Yeah.
And they're training some new guy. And the new guy's only been working with him for 4 days.
Right.
And he said something, and this is just shows you. This shows where you can recognize grace, folks, all the time. Is I shook his hand and I said, "Well, welcome." And he said, and he says, "Well, welcome to you." And he says, "Can I just say something that seems kind of weird?" And Jeff says, "Well, yeah, BJ says weird stuff all the time." And he says, "This ranch is really peaceful." And I says, "Well, what do you mean?" And he says, "I don't know. I'm just looking around, and the sun's going down, and the stars are coming out." And he says, he says, "I'm just really getting this really nice, peaceful feeling on this ranch." Hmm. And then Jeff says, "You know, every time I come here, I always leave like I'm comfortable, relaxed."
Sure.
And then this guy says, "You know," he says, "I had a headache, and I wanted to finish working." And Jeff says, "Yeah, he's had a headache for a couple hours now." And I said, "What, do you want some horse drugs?" And he says, "No, I'm not going to take horse drugs." And I says, "Well, I got a truck full of drugs." And he says, "It's the funniest thing." He says, "I just looked around and I thought, you know, this is such a nice night. It's just, you know," and he says, "I just said it to myself." He says, "You're going to say it's crazy, but I just said, you know, there really is a God." He said, "I just felt really relaxed and comfortable, and I just thought to myself, you know, there really is a God, the sun, the stars, and,
right, right.
You know, we're out in the country, and,
right.
And it's just really nice." And he says, "You know," and he says, "my headache's gone." And I says, "Do you know why your headache's gone?" And he says, "Why?" And he says, "Because it's Jesus. It's the Holy Ghost living on the ranch." And he says, "Well," he says, "I know you're just being funny and everything," he says, "but," he says, "you have to understand something. I take religion kind of seriously." Uh-huh. And I says, "Oh, you do?" And he says, "Yeah." And I says, "Are you a Christian?" And he says, I am." Now, folks, this literally happened 20 feet from this room.
Right.
I mean, we're talking spitting distance from the radio station.
Sure.
Minutes ago. And he says, "Are you a religious person?" And I says, "No." And I says, "But I'm here to tell you." And he says, "What?" And I says, "You're really giving this ranch credit it doesn't deserve." I says, "You could be in downtown Tulsa in commuter traffic, and you could have said the same thing, that there really is a God and that it's a good day." And he says, "Well, I don't see how I could say that with all the traffic and bumper to bumper and horns honking, and I can't find a place to park, and it smells." And, you know, he's talking about stray dogs and street people. And I said, "Yeah, you're right." I said, "God's only in the country. God isn't in the city." And he says, "Boy, isn't that the truth?" Now, I just left it at that.
Right.
You know, because I wanted to get back here because I didn't know, you know, how much, you know, how far the wheels rolled off the wagon with you in the barn by yourself. But this is my point. Here's a nice guy starting a new job. And he's talking about something as ridiculous as a headache. And he can't see the joy and the light of God's love in downtown Tulsa, but only in the country. Where is there really a relationship there? Because when you have a best friend, it doesn't matter how far apart you are, you're best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that relationship is important to you.
Right.
If you're married or you have a boyfriend or girlfriend or a brother or sister, it really doesn't matter if you're in the same room sharing a holiday meal or if you're on both sides of the planet, you are still committed to that relationship, and it means something to you.
Right.
And you just think of that person, and all kinds of feelings and thoughts come rushing into your heart, and it makes you feel good because you have a connection and a relationship.
Right.
The point being is, why can this good guy, he's got to be a good guy, he's selling me ice cream. Why is this good guy who's selling me ice cream and pot roast, why can he see grace outside this barn and he doesn't identify it a couple hours ago when he was in town.
Yeah, well, that's the limitation that we put on things.
And I think that what's really bad about this is that people feel that on a Sunday morning in a certain building on a certain street that there is a relationship, a connection, but when they leave the parking lot, it severs that connection.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the opposite.
Right, right.
It should not sever the relationship, the connection. When you leave that building, when you leave that parking lot, it should be enhanced.
Right.
It should grow.
Right.
It should be more positive. It should work for you and work with you. It
right.
shouldn't be vacant.
Yeah.
See, that's what ice cream does for people.
Sure.
Right there.
Well, if the Lord's never going to leave us or forsake us, why wouldn't he be with us wherever we are? I think this has been a really good show tonight. I'm really thankful that we kind of got on this topic of the love of the language of grace. I really am. I think
we covered it good?
I do, and I think it opens up a whole new perspective of what it means about love and grace and loving one another.
I think we may have to touch on it from time to time again.
I think it's a big subject that needs to be touched on.
I actually like the fact that we literally just went way out in left field with ice cream being delivered to the ranch.
Sure.
I just think it's, I think it's just part of it.
Yeah.
Now you realize when you leave that we'll have to jump in the four-wheeler and I'll have to take you over to the other barn.
Okay.
Because your stuff's in another barn in an official Swan's plastic bag.
Okay.
But
I need to say something too. This is a little bit of
well, are you going to be
cleaning.
In town for Wednesday for the library?
I will be. I'll be back, but somehow or another that date didn't get put on the Wednesday, so we're actually not meeting this coming Wednesday. It'll be the Wednesday after.
Is that the library's fault?
A scheduling conflict. I thought that this meeting was going to go into Wednesday, and I wouldn't get back till
Thursday.
Oh,
you mean in North Carolina?
Yes.
And then
it got moved back to just Tuesday, and so I'll be home on Wednesday. But we'd already said we weren't going to use it, so they get somebody else to do it. See, when
Did
we're
they,
not there.
Are you sure the room's already taken?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Did you call?
I haven't yet, but.
Hmm.
Well, my point is I had a little housekeeping, and that was this. You know, we've never said anything about money, and I'm certainly not going to say anything about it. The Lord has blessed us, our ministry, and we pay for the show, and we'll continue to do so. But from time to time, people have given something, and recently some folks have given something where they wrote on the check, the Abiding Presence. And if anyone was wanting to do something, just write it out to Jim Hockaday Ministries, because the ministry pays for the show. And I only say that because the bank said that they would honor those checks, but they weren't going to honor any more along that line. So.
And what bank is it? So we can tell people to boycott them.
It's Arvest.
Well, that figures.
So anyhow, that was just a little bit of...
Or make the check out to me or you, same thing.
Well, that would work too.
We've had checks made out to me. We've had checks made out to you.
That would work.
Either one.
No problem. Yep.
But I don't want people to feel they have to do that.
Not at all. Yeah, I trust I covered that well. We're not asking for anything.
Yeah.
Ever.
That would make me nervous.
Yep. Me too. We made a decision, folks, when we first started the show. There would never be a pull for money. It was never going to be about that. The Lord would take care of everything. We would just put it into the hands of grace to do the job we're supposed to do.
That was the first conversation we said. I said, I can build and design your radio show. I can make you rich and famous, or I can make we can make the show effective for people to find God.
And we chose
But I said,
effective.
You can't do both.
Right.
And you literally can't.
Yeah.
There isn't anything about grace or isn't anything about Christ that has anything to do with money. Yeah. But yet, for some reason, they seem to be tied like they're Siamese twins, because a lot of people are drawn to the guys under the promise of gold and riches and financial freedom.
Yeah.
And that's not the point of it.
Well, it's real simple. If you're tied to the Lord because of your love for Him and your desire to progress and enjoy Him, we've got so much scripture that shows us that He'll take care of everything you need.
Well, look at the way grace works. Somebody sent us a $50 gift card to Swans many months ago.
Right.
And the Swans truck shows up. We're doing a show. Here's this guy with a headache. It gives me a chance to plant some seeds. It gives us a good point for the show. Now, that's grace.
Yeah.
This is testimony. This is what the job of Christ's children is about. I mean, this didn't take special clothes. It's not a Sunday morning. It happened outside of a barn on a ranch in Oklahoma. And there's no reason why this can't happen in people's backyards that are listening to the show.
Right.
I guarantee you, Jim, that tonight is Friday, and this show is going to I'll broadcast it Tuesday night. Me and Ranger will be in the barn alone, and we'll be able to answer emails, but we won't be able to answer text messages, but send them anyways because, you know,
right.
Me and Ranger get lonely just sitting here talking to each other. Well, we don't. We like to talk to each other. But I guarantee this. Today, right now, is Friday the 1st. And next Tuesday, when I broadcast this show, it will be the 5th. So Saturday and Sunday and Monday, the next 72 hours, everybody that will listen to this show Tuesday would have had an opportunity to enjoy grace, to notice it.
Right.
So as they listen to this show,
yeah,
next Tuesday night, which will be on a Tuesday, well, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, the 72 hours after they hear this, they should then have the inspiration to go looking for that grace.
Yes.
That was overlooked the 72 hours before the show.
Sure.
You like
perfect.
That?
Perfect. Yeah.
Told you, God likes math.
Yep.
You want to say something to music?
Okay.
All right. There you go.
Well, I just going to mention a prayer that basically said the same thing. I think actually what BJ just said was all that needed to be said. So I'll just make it very similar. And that is, Father God, open our eyes so that we can see all this amazing and wonderful grace that's everywhere. And if our heart really desires to see it, we will. And to experience it will mean that we'll want more and more each and every day. And this is my prayer for everyone that's listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, that was good.
I'm not here.
You're not here.
No.
So you can't hear this.
No.
Folks, I want to thank you for logging on and listening to the show tonight. And thanks to Lori for the gift certificate to Swans.
Awesome.
And hello to everybody in where? North Carolina is where you are tonight.
Yes.
And tell them about the show. And I want to take a moment to say thank you to the people that sent emails and text messages tonight.
Yeah.
And
thanks for listening, everybody. Have fun.
This is one of Ranger's favorites. Ranger? Ranger likes this song, folks. The girl's got rhythm. And for Jim, who's not here in the barn, we'll be here next Tuesday night, right?
Correct. Yeah.
How's that for a closing?
That's good.
That's a little different, isn't it? Good night, everybody.
Good night.